In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Let's continue our commentaries on the Gospel of St. Mark. And today we are going to start with the chapter 13. Then as he went out of the temple, I'll just remind you with the story, the last story in chapter 12, which was the story of the widow who gave the two mites, who gave everything she had, and the Lord praised her and telling everyone that she put in much more than any of these rich people who were putting out of their abundance. So as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. You all know that the temple of Solomon was really great, and this building stand for more than 900 years, and this building suffered many times of persecution, but still it was strong at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ in the first century. And the people of Israel were always proud of this building. And they were always pointing at the strong stones of this building. See what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And this, you know, this meaning means that the pride of the Israelite, the pride of these people were not because they loved God from all their heart, but they were proud of the building of the temple. They were proud as being people of God. But actually they were not following his commandments. They were not giving him the love he expected. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So by saying so, the disciples were astonished. And they were scared of what he's saying. This building will be ruined, will be destroyed, and all stones will be scattered. Not one stone shall be left upon the other. So this meaning actually frightened their hearts. So now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, you know, when they go out of the temple, they move walking to the Mount of Olives. Mountain of Olives is nearby Jerusalem, and they can see the temple from this mountain, so they can see the whole building, an overview, vision about the temple. So he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately. So his words frightened them. So four of them came privately to ask him, "Do you really mean what you said, that this temple will be destroyed?" Peter, James, John, you know, these three are very much related to each other. And Andrew, also the brother of Peter. And you know, James and John are also brothers. So the two pairs of brothers came to him asking, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" Most of the Jews believe that with the destruction of the temple, it will be the end of the life on earth and might be the end of life forever. So they had many meanings in their mind related to this time of ruining this building. So they asked about the time. When will these things be? What will be the sign? So they were asking about when, the time, and the signs. Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he.' So before answering the time of the destruction of the temple or the end of the world at the event or the signs before this, he focused on that this deceit might happen. Many will come deceiving you, saying the Messiah is this one. Deceived you, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. So, one of the signs, the early signs before the end of the world, and also it was a sign before the destruction of the temple, that they will hear about many wars happening in many areas, and the rumor of wars. Don't be troubled, because this is not the end yet. For such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Why, God, these things should happen? Why you are saying such things must happen? Actually, this must mean that because of the evil in this world, wars should happen. Because people do not want to go after God, to love each other, wars should happen. So these wars are very much expected in all generations, because people do not repent, people do not believe in God, people do not believe in love or in eternal life. For such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. So the first sign he mentioned here, what he called the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end, but it's just the start of the end, the beginning of sorrows. These kinds of sorrow, like wars, like earthquakes, like famines, like troubles, here and there, everywhere, nations against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, because of the evil everywhere, but this is not the end. But watch out for yourselves. So, this is another important point or important advice, that if we see this world around or troubles here and there, we shouldn't focus much on whatever happening around, but we should focus on our hearts, on ourselves. Because this, you know, we may consider like a message of repentance. As if God is telling everyone, come back to me, look at me, turn back to me, because you will never find peace in this world. You can never find your salvation anywhere but with me. Watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. So this is the second step or the another sign. They will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogue. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake. And this another sign also happens in most of the generations. So all people in all generations should be ready, because wars and troubles are around, and also the persecution against the believers are always there. For a testimony to them. So we had a chance to witness to God by these kinds of persecution, beaten in the synagogue and brought before rulers and kings. You know, it's the chance to testify, to witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. So another important point considering the signs before his coming, if the gospel should be brought to all nations, and through these sufferings, these troubles, these dark times, actually the gospel extend and reach many areas. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. You know, in times of questioning the faith of the believers, some may not be ready what to say, how to testify their belief. So the Lord is giving a promise, don't worry about that time. I'll give you the grace, I'll give you the power, I'll talk on your mouth, I'll speak with your tongue, I'll give you the wisdom to reply, to respond to whatever question. When they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So with the sign of persecution and hard time, there is also the grace of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, to support the people of God and to witness more to His name. Now brother will betray brother to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. So in this time of offending the Christian faith, a brother may attack his brother, or a father may kill his son, or a family stand against one of their members because he believed in Christ. Cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. You can see this clearly in all generations after Christ, because in all times the church faced problems. People were considering that they should get rid of these Christians, and some of them believed that God is pushing them to get rid of these Christians. So you will be hated by all for my name's sake, by all evildoers, by all followers of devil, by all followers of the kingdom of earth. You will be hated, but you are beloved. You are loved by the people in heaven, by the angels of God, by the saints, by God Himself. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So here there is another commandment, which means that just stay strong, endure the pain, suffer with patience, with faith, with hope. Don't get back and don't run away. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, what is this abomination of desolation? You know, it was written in the prophecy of Daniel, and it happened in the early days of the Jew that one of the pagan leaders, because he wanted to offend the Jew in their belief, he brought one of the temple, one of the idols of the pagans, and he put inside the temple of God. And moreover, he made a sacrifice which was forbidden according to the law of Moses in the temple of Solomon, in the temple of God. And that was named Abomination of Desolation. And you know, this will happen again with the coming with the Antichrist. The Antichrist will hurt the name of Christ and will destroy the temple of Christ of the new covenant. So by this abomination of desolation, which was given by Daniel first, the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the leader understand. So we need to understand, what is this coming? You know, any kind of hurt to the belief in our Eucharist, the pure, sacred body of Christ and blood of Christ, the altar in our churches, you know, this kind of attacking our belief at the start of this abomination of desolation. It's kind of hurt to whatever pure and sacred in our life. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. This applied mainly to the period before the destruction of the temple and the destruction of all Jerusalem, which happened in the year 70 after Christ, when Titus, the Roman leader, came and destroyed everything in Jerusalem. He killed more than 1 million Jews, but the Christians fled to the mountains because they followed the commandment of Christ. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. You know, it happened literally that people fled to the mountain away from this hard time of Titus. But you know, it had a spiritual meaning that with the coming of Christ, with the end of days, we should not focus on what we have on earth. We should not go back to our homes, to our houses, to catch the gold and silver. But we should go to the mountain for praying, for fasting, for being ready to meet Christ on the clouds. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Again, for those who are working in the field, simplify the idea of servants, of evangelists, of those who left everything to go following Christ's steps to preach his word of salvation. So they should not go back to think of their clothes. So if it happened literally for the Jew, for the Christian who escaped to the mountains with the coming of Titus, now it's happening with us as servants of God with the coming of Christ. But oh, to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Why he is saying woe to those who are pregnant or having babies and nursing babies? You know, it happened in times of Titus. He was very aggressive with the Jew women, and he rather killed many of these babies, and he made many bad things with the pregnant women. But you know, according to the forefathers, this also may be understood in a spiritual meaning, that some people are having the sins inside their hearts, inside their wombs. They are nursing the sins. They are living for their lusts. Woe to those who are living their life for their lusts. And pray that your flight may not be in winter. Winter stands usually for the cold, and the cold heart stands for the, you know, being away from the fire of loving God. To love God, you feel the fire of the Spirit inside your heart. So feeling cold means that you lose this love, you lose the power of Spirit inside your heart. For in those days, the days of cold, the days of winter, there will be tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Again, this passage we may understand on the period of Titus, on the year 70 after Christ, but more important that we understand the meanings on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with the end of days. So we will have tough time before the coming of our Lord. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. So because our Lord is merciful, because Christ loves his people, so he will make these days short. it will not stand for long, for many years, because nobody can stand for such tribulation. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. So because of the elect's, those who are chosen by God, the good people of God, God is merciful, so he will let them suffer, but not to the extent that they deny their faith. He will put the cross on the shoulders of his followers, but not to the extent that they fall down. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. So many doubts will come with times of troubles. And this happened in all generations of the persecutions of the church, that in these times many were saying that Christ is coming soon, today or tomorrow, and we had seen him here and there. So he warned us not to believe in his coming on walking on the earth. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive. So the Lord warned us that the false Christ and false prophets will come with wonders. So many will be deceived, but for those who are following the word of the Lord Christ himself, they will never be deceived, because Christ promised us to come on the clouds. He is not coming to walk again on earth. He is not coming to live again with us on earth, but he will come to take us with him to his eternal life. Look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. So with the words of Christ, we are strong. We can face all these coming times, because we believe in whatever he said. We believe that he is waiting for us, that if he permits some times of pain, he will end up with the glory of resurrection and the kingdom of heaven. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. So now he is speaking clearly about the last days. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. You know, also we can take it in a symbolic way. The sun, the light of God, nobody can see easily. So very few will stand still in their strong faith. And the moon, those who are witnessing to God, those who are following Christ's steps, also they cannot give their light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Again, with the last days, some of the saints or some of the good people will be shaken. And these all stand as signs of the last days before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in this precious chapter, chapter 13 of the Gospel of St. Mark, we can see clearly that although our Lord Jesus Christ did not mention the exact time he is coming in, but actually he gave us many signs and clear signs to follow the signs in order to spend our life waiting for this minute to see him on the clouds and to have our eternal life with him. Glory to God. Amen.